Notice I said a superior kingdom. Our kingdom is superior. The kingdom of God is far superior than the kingdom of this world. And so we have to understand that. Now, we're not, again, let me qualify what I'm saying. We're not just living here to make money or have a business to make money. Now, all those things are great, and you should make money, but it's not just to make money. It's to be the influence. It's to be the impact. It's to advance the kingdom in whatever you do. You may be an educator, a teacher. You may be a professional person. You may be, you know, whatever you may be in your vocation, you are to be there establishing the kingdom principle. Here's the other thing. Next, we have to realize we have the blessing of God on our lives. We don't really have to put somebody else's God down to lift ours up. All we have to do is show them, just by standing on the promise of God, doing God's word, our God is far superior than any other God. Now listen to me. A lot of times we want to, you know, put somebody or what they do down, but all we've got to do is show them how God works in our life. Now, if you're saying God's not working in your life, well, number one, get saved. When you get saved, start walking in line with the Word of God. When you fall short and get yourself back into the world, get out of it. I mean, get out of the sin. Get out of the darkness and get back into the light, because God has already given you the blessing. The blessing is your inheritance. The inheritance is a supernatural blessing that's not tied to the world system. It's not tied to your paycheck. It's not tied to your job. It's tied to the unlimited resources of God Almighty. When people see our life, and they see that our need is met by our God, that is a witness that God provides. And can I just tell you, most people come into a church looking for their need to be met. And can I also tell you, if they don't see, because how many know God knows? People are tired of religion. They've been exposed to religion after religion after religion, and been lied to, and traditions of men and so on and so forth have made the Word of God of no effect. But when they see that our God provides our need and blesses us, oh, that's going to make a difference. That's going to make an impact. When you're not tied, you know, to the system, but the kingdom is where your blessing comes from. It's not your boss that signs the check. It's the King of Kings. Your benefits come from the kingdom of God. You're not trying to find favor and kiss up to man. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You're trying to find favor with God. And you found favor with God if you're here in Him. Okay? Now, let's look. Let's go over to Mark chapter 6. See, they need to know the reality of the God that you serve. And they need to see the evidence. Not just hear you talk about it, but see the evidence. Where did I tell you to go? No, go to Luke 6. See, if you were spiritual, you would have known. Now, we see a lot of examples in the Word of God. For example, and we've been there, so I won't go back there, but the story of Daniel. You know, from the get-go, when they were held in the captivity of the Babylonians, The Babylonians, even their wisest men, their wise men, could see the difference in Daniel or the Hebrew children. They were 10 times wiser than the wisest of the Babylonians. And that wisdom brought not only favor, but it brought promotion. It brought blessing. You can go back and see the story of Joseph. Now listen to this. You know, Joseph in the Old Testament, he kept his attitude right. He kept his heart fixed on the Lord. He knew that God knew where he was all the time, so he didn't get mad at people because people did him bad. He understood that his mission was more important than his madness. And what got him promotion? Because he kept a standard. They begin to see that the revelation that he had, the wisdom that he had, far exceeded that of any of the Egyptians, including the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh hired him because Joseph had an idea from God of how to abort the famine that was coming upon the land, and they would have plenty in that time of lack and want. Can you imagine? The Pharaoh hired a Jew. Hired a Hebrew. So it doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter what your background is. Listen, you're going to know more than the average guy. You're going to know more because you're in a kingdom where there's unlimited resources. And when you operate under that kind of ability, promotion cometh, baby. Somebody's going to get blessed. They're going to discover that you're not there bragging on yourself. It's just you know more. And you cause them to make more. You see how it works? But you gotta understand who you are and what kingdom you represent. You're supposed to know more. Where did I tell you to turn? Have you found it yet? If you hadn't found it by now, you really need help. Verse 35. Now look at this. Every time I read this in the Bible, I said, why'd you put that there, Lord? What does it say? Oh, man. I was reminded of this verse the other day when I drove up here and somebody had the audacity to steal one of our palm trees from our sign. Mm-hmm. You can go out there right now and see a big hole where it was standing. Can you imagine having a palm tree in your front yard that was stolen from the house and property of God? Well, say attitude. Got to keep your vision on your purpose and not on your madness. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be what? And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Ha! Woo! Now we don't like reading that verse, much less trying to apply that to our lives. But see, the idea is that we have to let go of things. Yeah, we have to let go of things because the kingdom of God is powerful. It is more superior. And there's enough power in the kingdom of God to change hearts, to change lives. The conviction of God to get on those thieves. Amen. and fall on their knees and say, "What have we done?" But our job is to be kind and thankful. Mm-hmm. Well, think about Joseph. They were pretty ugly to Joseph. Lied about him. Left him for doomed. But you know what? He kept his attitude, didn't he? He kept, because he understood that your attitude and the way you have outlook or look on things affects your faith. And everything that we must receive and everything that we do receive according to the promises of God are accessed through faith. So, we have to know, and that's why I was teaching on Wednesday about the enemies of our faith. We have to lay aside every weight. The weight is that thing which comes between you and God. And the sin which so easily besets or snares or entraps you. You see, I don't know what your weight is. I don't know what the sin is in your life. I know what they were in mine. Well, we have to make sure that nothing is hindering our faith if we're going to walk in the fullness, everybody say the fullness, of the blessing of God. So your challenge, I guarantee you, is this. It's just before you're ready to receive the promise. Somebody's going to do you wrong. And this is the year of opportunities. And you're going to have opportunity to become bitter or better. Now you better choose right now. I'm just telling you, I'm forewarning you. Right on the verge of your greatest blessing, there'll be a challenge. Somebody will do you wrong or attempt to do something, and it won't be somebody you don't know. It'll be somebody dear to your heart. And you'll have to make a choice to keep my standard, to keep my attitude. And let stuff go and just continue about the Father's business. Continue about the business of the Father, because there's power in the kingdom. And the Bible says that we're to love our enemies and also to be kind, even to the unthankful. Sometimes we want to wring their neck. Shake them! But that isn't godly. God will have His day. Amen? So, it is God who promotes. Now, so when people come into the church, most of them, they're looking and they're trying to see evidence of your provision. Now, we're not trying to be real spiritual here. We're trying to be real. Most people come into a church because they're in lack. They're in need. Sometimes people have the idea that the church is a bank. That if I come in here, you know, oh, this is a prosperous church. I can get money. Well, this is not what the church is for. I said, this is not what the church is for. We don't come in here to get a bank full of money. We come in here to get a bank full of the Word. Amen. Because the Word is what will get us the money to put in our bank. The Word, when applied, will get us what we need to sustain life. Because our inheritance is supernatural, remember. Our inheritance is attached to the blessing, not the world. Our inheritance is not only supernatural, but it includes everything you need in this world. Your house. Your car. Your health, spiritual, the spiritual blessing, everything, your healing is tied to the blessing. Everything that Jesus went to the cross on Calvary and paid the price for. The great exchange. He who became poor that you might become rich. So all of that, see, is attached to the blessing. It's supernatural. Okay, look at back up to verse 20. See, a lot of this has not been preached in this manner to understand that people come into a church to get provision. And if they don't find provision, they'll go somewhere else. Don't get quiet on me. But it's the Word of God that brings our provision. Yes. Now here's what Jesus said, and we get this all construed and mixed up too. Verse 20. It said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is," underline the word is the kingdom of God. Now we've heard all kind of sermons. I'm sure you've heard all kind of messages. Oh, brother, you know, God loves poor people more than he does the rich. Oh, just hang on. It's more blessed to be poor. And God loves you so much. And when you get to heaven someday, you will have a great reward. Now that all sounds good and makes a poor guy feel better about himself. But I don't know about you. But I need inheritance. And I need it right now in the nasty now. Amen. I need evidence now so that I can impact the world. Are you with me? So the truth of what Jesus is teaching here is that when a person is born again, immediately that person comes into the kingdom of God, and that supernatural blessing comes upon his or her life that is not attached to the world or the system, but attached to the unlimited resource of God Almighty. So if a person comes in here that's in destitute or in need, say a single mother with several children, or a divorced person, and they got mouths to feed and they got bills to pay, the first thing that they come in here and they find out is that God will bless them, that they can live an abundant life, and it's not tied to what they do socially. It's not tied to their job. And all of a sudden, they start seeing the provision of God. Because you got to learn to walk with God. You got to learn to grow up in the kingdom of God. You can't be little children. Little children, you know, little children want it now. And they want it fast. And they, you know, if you don't give it to them, they cry. They get down on the floor and kick and roll over and hold their breath and... But we are to grow up in the things of God. Now I experience this. In fact, let me. Oh man. Oh, let me show you something here, right quick. Okay. Go back all the way to Genesis chapter 1. Now I said two things to you. Okay, if y'all haven't, all of you haven't been here in this. The first thing that people learn is that if you're poor, when you come into the kingdom of God, you become blessed. That's a great truth. Jesus came and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the poor." Now, what is that good news to the poor? That you don't have to be living in a beggarly, low-life state, always having somebody else to get your fish for you. Now you can fish for yourself. Well, here's what I said. Number one is that your job has nothing to do with your prosperity in the kingdom of God. And the second thing I said to you is that your occupation does not determine your success in the kingdom of God. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. Now let's read this right quick. Verse 28. I want to show you how God provided everything for his man. Say everything. Up until the curse, everything was provided by God the provider. Now that's the way God intended for you and I to function in this earth. To do his business, be his representative, and his supply to be in our life and an abundant supply. Where there is no lack, because those that seek the Lord, there is no lack. There is no want. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. And I shall not want. Why? Because everything else is supplied. How can I have a want? How can I even have a need? If everything is being fulfilled. Well, let's read verses. Let's read this time here, man. Verse 28 says, Genesis chapter 1, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given to you every herb. Say every herb. Notice that. It says, that yields seed. Oh, man. That yields seed. Because the blessing, whenever the blessing is applied to the seed, it produces multiplication. You didn't get that. The empowerment of the blessing on a seed produces multiplication. You're here today because of multiplication of a seed that was planted in the ground. His name was Jesus, and he was the first begotten from the dead. Man, I wish I had time to preach. It said, which is on the face of the earth, in every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Now just write out there in your Bible, food there means provision. It shall be for you provision. Everything you need is in the form of a seed. Kingdom blessing empowers the seed to multiply. That's good, Lord. Verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Lord have mercy. Very good. And so the evening and the morning were what day? So in 6 days, God had made all of creation, including man. And he looked at it and he said, it was very good. You were a very good creator, God. And he created things very good. Now look, in chapter 2 it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Are you following me? And on the what day? The seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now notice it doesn't say anything about the Sabbath. It said the seventh day. Seventh day. That on the seventh day that God rested. It doesn't mean that he was tired. No, no. Being tired comes from another kind of labor. From another kind of work. Hello. God rested. He ceased from his creation, from his works. And then he sanctified, or what does the next verse say? He blessed, there you go, the seventh day and sanctified it. In it, because in it, He rested from all his work which God had created and he had made. He provided everything for man, for Adam, for Eve in that garden. Now they blew it. But let me show you something here. Read on verse 9. Well, verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward into Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 9 says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, for provision. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Mark that down. Then you come on down to verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to attend it, to keep it." Verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat you shall surely die." There was a spiritual death. There was a separation. But look at this word knowledge just a moment. Knowledge comes from the Hebrew word dath. D is in delta, A-A-T-H. It means knowledge gained through the experience of the senses. Now stop a minute. Let me. It means knowledge that is gained through the experience of the senses. Or it is sense knowledge, taste, smell, touch, feel. Now, man, because he fell, because he committed this sin, was now limiting his knowledge based on his senses. Now listen to this. God never intended for man. He never designed man to operate solely or only on sense knowledge. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. When Adam ate of that tree, he became limited by knowledge. In other words, he couldn't know the things anymore by revelation. His spirit had been cut off. That's what it means. In that day, you shall surely die. And of course, later we know they died physically. But listen to me. We were never designed by God as God's creation in this earth to provide for ourselves and to operate by our own sense knowledge. We were created by God to know some things. And to know those things can only come through revelation knowledge, where the Holy Spirit who comes into our life reveals to our spirit what God says. We have examples of this even in the New Testament, don't we? When Jesus was teaching, he was up at Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, and he asked Peter, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah the prophet." He said, "Yeah, well, I know that, but who do you say that I am, Peter?" He said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You're right, Peter, flesh and blood, your senses didn't tell you that, but by the Spirit of God." And he said, "Upon this rock," not the Catholic Church, "upon this rock," he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The rock is the reborn, the recreated spirit of man that becomes now in a position once again to receive revelation knowledge from God. Wow. Think about it. And we see this. We have all kinds of examples where we are to know things that other people can't know. We can go to the life of Jesus. Jesus operated in the kingdom of God. He came so that he could establish the kingdom. One day he's up there teaching, and there's a multitude. The Bible says there was 5,000 out there. And it got evening, and they were hungry. And the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "What are we going to do?" Jesus said, "You feed them." And they said, "What, Lord? Did you fall off the truck or what, Lord? You feed them." They said, "Well, even if we took all we had here in the treasure, we couldn't buy enough for this multitude." And the Bible says, in John chapter 6, where we're talking about that story, it says, "And Jesus knew what he would do." Amen. See, Jesus knows everything. Amen. He knows about everything, and he has a solution for everything. Are you with me? Yes. And listen to this. Once, I got to read this one to you and we'll close. I don't have enough time. John, turn to this one. I got to show you this one, okay? In Matthew 17, kind of where we started. Just hurry up and get over there because we're out of time. Are y'all okay? I'm just saying to you that mankind fell, and by that fall, he fell in a place. Now listen to this. He fell in a place where you have to operate in this world, not only by self-knowledge or sense knowledge, I should say, but by trial and error. Trial and error. Trial and error will produce toil. It will produce anxiety because you don't ever know if something's going to work or not. Amen. But God created you to know something. Amen. Hello? Amen. See, if we're not operating by revelation knowledge, we're going to operate in the system, but the system is trial and error. I mean, you follow what I'm saying about trial and error? It's just like going to the doctor. Have you ever read their sign? It says practicing medicine. Hey, do you realize when you go to a doctor, they're practicing on you? That's why when they say, "Well, we got a new medicine here, we're willing to try it out if you want it." Trial and error. And sometimes medicine will bring bad side effects. You take the medicine for one thing and all of a sudden your liver's caving in. Are you here? It's a system of trial and error, and the world is designed by trial and error. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But you're supposed to know something. Look at this right quick. Somebody say praise the Lord. Woo, get on up there. Look at this. I got to show you this one last one. See, Jesus operated by this principle, and we missed it. Now, he was operating as the Son of God, but also as a man in the earth. But he was operating in kingdom principles. He knew some things because he was operating not out of sense knowledge, but revelation. That's why he said, "You feed them." Well, how are we going to feed them? Easy. Let me have what you got, and we'll multiply the seed. Right? Because the blessing, what? There empowers the seed to multiply. And they had enough, the Bible says, to feed them all, and baskets left over. Can you say abundance?
Abundance.
I like this one. Do you want this one? Let me leave you with this one. Matthew 17, verse 24. Now listen to this. How many of you pay taxes? How many of you are burdened by your taxes? Now see, here's the difference. Let me show you something. And when they had come to Capernaum, verse 24, those who received the temple tax, the income tax of their day, came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And Peter said, "Yes, yes, yes." And when he had come to the house, Jesus, what? Anticipated him. Now, what happens when you anticipate something? You know what they're going to do. Isn't it amazing? Jesus not there, but he knows, because he knows things. Can I just tell you, you're supposed to know things too? You're made in the image and likeness of God. Okay, but look at this, it gets better. It says, "Now, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from their strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." Did you read that? Not free from paying taxes. Freedom from the burden of the tax. Are you with me? Because our Father supplies for the tax. You say, how do you know that? Because look at the next verse. "Nevertheless, we offend." Because you get thrown in jail if you don't pay the IRS. It says, "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea," Peter. Now look at this. "And take the fish that comes up first." Jesus knew something. He knew right where the fish was and which fish. You say, well, he did that because he was God. No, he did that because he was operating in the kingdom of God principles. And not only that, but look, this gets better. "And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money." Now, in the margin of my Bible, it defines peace as a stater in the Greek, S-T-A-T-E-R. And it says, the exact temple tax for two. How much tax do you owe, Peter? How much do we owe for both of us? Well, just go over there. You know how to fish, Peter. That's what you know how to do. That's your vocation. Go out there. The first fish that jumps up, open up his mouth, pull it out. They'll be exact enough to pay Caesar. Rend unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on, stand up on your feet. Stand up and shout. Shout, shout, shout. I'm a kingdom child. I'm a kingdom child. Hallelujah. My point is, not knowing things in life brings toil. It brings sweat. It brings stress. Those things will kill us. God's designed you and I to know some things. And that's why God reinstated the Sabbath. Remember? Sabbath was made for man. Because it was a covenant reminder. Remind us of what, Pastor? It reminded us that our God is Jehovah Jireh. That it is His responsibility as our Father and us as His children to provide every need according to His riches in glory. It reminds us that he shifted once again the responsibility, the burden that came on man because of the fall, of having to sweat by the toil, by the stress, by the extra overtime, by jobs on Sundays and jobs on Mondays and Tuesdays and nights and days and months and weeks. And oh, what's wrong with me? Are you here? It's a reminder that when we walk in the covenant of God, that God is the one who provides for us.